Lord, thank you that you have all authority over our lives, over this earth, that you have given us the authority of your word to trust the very things that you have said to us. And so as we look to your word again this morning, I pray that you would help us to, by your spirit, understand your truths very clearly for us, and that you would give me the ability to be consistent with the intent of what you want us to know from your word this morning as well. And may we be encouraged by your truths. May mothers be particularly encouraged by your truths this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a little boy who was in a Sunday school play, and he totally forgot his lines. And his mother was in the front row. She was there to help prompt him when he had a problem, and so this was one of those situations, and so she began to gesture to him and silently form the words on her mouth, and but to no avail. Her little son's memory was completely blank, and so finally she leaned forward as she could, and she whispered the cue to her son, and she said, "Jesus is the light of the world." And this young boy was feeling much better, and so with much confidence, he boldly said, "My mother is the light of the world." Oh, and I'm sure she went from her seat under the seats at that point. Doesn't tell us what happened then, but I would suspect that most of you mothers here this morning don't necessarily feel like you're the light of the world. And sometimes you may wonder if you're accomplishing anything significant, and maybe have even questioned whether or not you're even ruining your children at times. And yet the value of mothers and how they have and are currently shaping the next generation is really an immeasurable thing. And so though you may feel like your light is not maybe as productive and influential as you'd like it to be, it probably is more so than what you think. And the purpose of my message this morning is devoted to mothers, and it's not just to make you feel good because you're mother, though I want to encourage you in that task, but I primarily want to focus on the importance of your task and the value of it, because we live in a culture that in so many ways has sought to undermine the value of motherhood, and in turn then undermined the priority of what motherhood should look like. One example of that was last year in February of 2006, Good Morning America aired a couple programs with an individual by the name of Linda Hirschman, who is a prominent feminist. And she made a number of statements in response to a particular report that many educated women on elite university campuses indicated that they did not intend on pursuing a career outside the home, but they wanted to give themselves to being wives and mothers. Hirschman's response, and I give it as a summary here, was this: that educated, competent women should be in the office and not lower themselves to the calling of motherhood. And that motherhood undermines the status of all women. And that motherhood is uninteresting and unfulfilling. And it sounds like she grew up in an awfully boring home. I'm not sure. But my response to that is this: mothers are not letting anybody down. If anything, they are holding civilization as we know it together, which does not happen at a Fortune 500 company. It happens in the home. Colossians 2 verse 8 tells us that we are to be careful to not let anyone take us captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. I think it's clear that Satan has done much work in our culture, in seeking to deceive our culture into somehow thinking that motherhood is nothing more than the event of giving birth. And yet, as Colossians describes it, through hollow and deceptive philosophies, the world has created a movement of self-fulfillment and personal rights and personal pleasure and a desire for things that have taken much of our culture captive and diminished motherhood and its role to second rate, if that. And the results, well, the results have been devastating to the family. As a result, divorce is a viable option for some to find fulfillment outside of their marriages. It has led to a higher abortion rate. It has led to higher child abuse and child neglect. And you say, how do you know that? The reason is because self-absorption in saying, I want to do what I want to do, has caused our culture to say children are a burden. And yet any time you stray away from God's plan and you step outside of the parameters of what God designed for the family, it always leads to problems. And we don't have to look too far to see what those problems look like. Sometimes it happens subtly. Sometimes we forget. We forget our purpose, where we need to go in terms of our priorities. Or there are those that simply ignore full well what God wants for them to do their own thing. Whatever the case may be, it is my intent this morning to remind, just to remind you of, and to give the big picture of some basic foundational truths of what God says about motherhood for the purpose of strengthening you in your task, to help you find greater contentment within the role that God has called you to, and that you might not only accept that role, but that you might also embrace it to the glory of God. And so I'm going to break it into two major points, the first being this. First of all, God's design for motherhood. And again, if we believe in the Word of God, which I think most of us do, and the authority of what it says, we must give careful attention to what God has said about the role of mother. And as so many different subjects, I want to take you back to the book of Genesis, where it first of all tells us that God prescribed motherhood. And Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, really give us God's intent. It says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. And then if you jump down a couple verses, God wraps it all up by saying this. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, those verses are a description of God instituting the family, giving framework for the family, and defining the family. And motherhood was part of God's core design within that perfect plan before sin entered the world. So we can say motherhood is not just something that evolved. Motherhood is not something that took place with a whole bunch of people sitting around a table as a committee, somehow drawing the conclusion that motherhood would be a good thing. Motherhood was part of God's original plan. And so therefore, the goal of a mother, just as it would be for anyone else, is to fulfill God's plan or His will and glorify Him in it. And the way to most glorify God within your family is to follow God's plan for your family. And again, recognizing that if God put this all together, He then drew the conclusion by saying, this plan is a very good plan. Meaning that it is the best possible way to define the family and actually raise a family. And therefore we can draw these conclusions from that. The family then is more important than having money. The family is more important than having more things. The family is more important than just a personal career. And applying that to women does not mean by any means that they should not pursue a college education. I think in many cases they can actually equip moms to be even more effective within their home. So I think we have to be careful how we draw conclusions in that particular area. But I think we can draw this conclusion in saying that motherhood is therefore not a lifestyle option if you have children. It is a divine calling of God in the fulfillment of His promises. Now, the one response that you might feel in hearing that is, I understand what you're saying, but I don't feel like I know how to be a good mom. I don't feel like I know what to do even if I'm staying home with my children. I have no direction. And yet I want to encourage you with the second point, and being that God not only prescribed motherhood, but He provided for motherhood. He not only designed mothers in their role, He uniquely equips women for that role. And that is based on the fact that men and women were created in the image of God, meaning that we were created to reflect the very attributes of God, including His love, His wisdom, His creativity, His righteousness, His patience, His compassion, and His care, just to name a few. But the point being that God doesn't just create motherhood and then create the job description for motherhood. He actually equips mothers with what they need to get the job done. Because God never asks us to do anything without empowering us and giving us the resources we need to do it. And I'm always amazed how God has made women with such a special ability to nurture and care for children. It is a beautiful thing to see, and something that I feel like often I cannot understand or even relate to, but I'm very thankful for it. And I think it's very obvious, just even in terms of how God has created women physically, but also how He has created them emotionally and just by their very nature. I marvel at times, I haven't seen this that many times, but when I see it, I'm always amazed when I see it. And that is, I've come home sometime and Kathy will have a child in one arm and she'll be making dinner and she'll be on the phone and she'll be giving hand signals that communicate very clearly somehow to the rest of the children. And it's all being done at the same time. Incredibly multitask, which I have no ability to relate to or even want to make any attempt to try two things at once, mind you, four. My house would be an absolute disaster zone if that was the case. At least the dinner would get burned or a child would fall off the house. I'm not sure exactly what, but even more important than that, the whole ability for a mom to bring comfort, to have sensitivity towards the very needs of the children. There's times I look and go, I would have never seen that. The ability to love in a very special, unique way and to create an atmosphere within the home that I think most of us guys just don't have the natural knack to do that. So I'm very thankful to see how God works that out in the lives of women. You say, well, I'm not sure if I really know how to do the things you've just said. Well, I would just say to you that God, I think, implants those natural abilities to do so, but there's still things that you learn how to do. There's skills that you develop through reading and through personal experience and through the observation of your own mother or other mothers. I think one of the best ways for especially younger women to develop the skills of biblical motherhood are to be those that are taught by older women. We go to Titus chapter 2, verse 2, and it says older women should teach younger women. Well, I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding there, because I think most people picture the fact that there would be this older woman sitting across from this younger woman, and she's having a Bible study and teaching her the Word of God. Now, that is absolutely fine and appropriate to do so, but I think it encompasses much more than just a Bible study and the fact that because of how God created women, part of teaching women, older women teaching younger women, is to help them be better moms, to teach them how to do the skills, the cooking, or how to take care of your children in certain circumstances, how to figure things out as a mom. That is a beautiful way for those of you that are experienced moms, or maybe in the grandparent status now, to help younger moms become more equipped in their position. But also God has equipped mothers with His Spirit. If we are in Christ, we have His Spirit to teach us. We have His Word to guide us. And so I would just encourage you, always go back to the Word of God to be your guide as a mom, to depend on the Spirit of God, to develop the characteristics of a godly mother, which sometimes you feel like I'm just a mile away from becoming these things. And yet God, by His grace, develops the things in us that we ourselves can't do. The other thing I would just encourage you, we have wonderful books. There's so many, and we have a number of them here actually on the book rack, just expounding on the truths of how to be a godly mom. And those are great resources for you to utilize. And so I think we can say, moms, that God has made motherhood the highest calling. He has blessed it, and He has so graciously equipped you for it as you follow Him. Now, there's one other main point that I want to focus on this morning, and it is this. And it's the fact that God delights in children. And I use that point in particular as part of the Mother's Day message because of the emphasis of self-fulfillment today. Children have taken very much a back seat in our culture for our own personal agendas. Now, the fact that God delights in children may be a truth you have to at least try to convince yourself of at times within the chaos of your own home, and as kids are going nuts at times, and you're changing diapers and making meals and fixing wounds and answering endless questions, you may just be ready to pull, well, I was thinking pull your kid's hair out, but maybe your hair comes out first, I'm not sure, but sometimes there's a lot of frustration in the whole raising of children. And yet, one of the things that we have done in our home, which we tend to do almost every night, is Kathy and I will walk into the bedrooms and we'll see these perfect, innocent children fast asleep. And they, how could we have ever thought they did anything wrong today? Ever done that? And it's just a little subtle reminder to us that children are truly a blessing from God. And yet a lot of people see them as an inconvenience. But God says a number of things about children. Let me just give you three particular passages and then comment on one of them. First is Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. It says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Okay, so just again, encompassing the blessing of children. 128, Psalm 128, 1 through 4. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. And then the other one in the New Testament in the book of Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And this will be a very familiar passage to you. Starting in verse 13, it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, that anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Now you read that and you think to yourself, what was the disciples' problem here? Well, maybe they didn't like kids. Probably not. I think the problem lies in the area of priorities. Say, well, what do you mean? Well, let me just give you a little bit of background here. The disciples have been spending days upon days with Jesus. And they have previously seen, days before this has happened, they have seen him walk on the water. They have seen Jesus heal probably hundreds of people of any disease that exists. They've seen and witnessed Jesus feeding thousands of people with 7 loaves of bread and just a couple fish. And all of a sudden, things are starting to happen. People are starting to flock to Jesus. And here, all of a sudden, there's this significant, growing, exciting ministry like nothing they've ever seen or heard before. And they're part of it. Now, all of a sudden, a bunch of kids show up at Jesus' feet as he's teaching people. And in their minds, these children are getting in the way of Jesus' ministry. It's like, kids, not today. Go and play. Go do something. Jesus has got people to see, things to do, got an important ministry to happen here. And actually, they thought they were doing Jesus a favor. Jesus' response says he was indignant. In other words, he was upset with his disciples. He rebuked them. He said, wait a second, guys, let the kids come. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about these children. And by saying that, he's saying they're important. And in fact, they're examples, he goes on later, for adults in the fact that they are dependent on God, they are humble, and they are receptive to the gospel. And so Jesus invests time with these children because he knows they are worthy investments, because he knows that they are impressionable souls for the kingdom of God. And he knows that they're just as important as to everything else in comparison to everything else that he's done. The disciples didn't quite see it that way. And so let me just take a moment of application. Not only to mothers, but I think as dads we can ask ourselves some of these same questions. Do you ever feel like your ministry, maybe as a leader in the church or in some form of leadership or leading a Bible study or serving other people, is more important and more significant than the ministry you have to your children? You say, well, teaching the Bible sure seems a lot more important than changing a messy diaper. A career, along with a higher income, looks a lot more appealing than staying home. But does it? Does it in light of the bigger picture? Am I as quick and willing to answer the questions of my children and spend time with my children as I am with others who need me and others who need answers and others who need time? I think it's a question we have to ask all the time. It's a question I have to ask. It's a question I've asked again in the last few days. The most important ministry you can have is your kids. And in fact, an effective ministry to your children will only make you more effective in your ministry to other people. And in fact, your ministry to your children is what gives you a platform to actually have an effective ministry to other people. Because if you're not doing it at home, it doesn't really mean a whole lot if you're doing it in other places. And though we may agree with that idealistically, it is important that we demonstrate it by not allowing other things, and I would also include in that other good things, to take away from that priority. It's a challenging thing. So listen, children are a lot more than messy diapers, as much as I like to get out of the messy diaper stage. They are not an inconvenience to what we want to do. They're not a waste of time. They are eternal investments that are given to us by God. They are sinful little creatures who need a mother's time and nurture and guidance and love and counsel. And I think when you understand that you're modeling and that you're molding the next generation of fathers and mothers, and that you're molding the next generation of politicians and church leaders, and that you're molding the citizens at large for this world who will either glorify God or they will defy God. And I think when you begin to realize that, you recognize that there is no profession in the world that has as much influence and has as much significance as that of motherhood. And I realize very much so that the call to this kind of motherhood is a massive sacrifice. But I would also add to that in saying it is a great sacrifice that will reap an eternal harvest. That's the big picture. Some of you here this morning are single moms, and I realize also that when you hear a message like this, this may make you feel more overwhelmed than anything else. And so I just wanted to say a word of encouragement to you, because I realize that you are faced with some extra challenges and burdens and responsibilities. But that does not mean that you are unable to carry out God's purposes and that you are unable to make a difference in the spiritual lives of your children. And I'm reminded of one important example, and I would just quickly submit this to you, and that is Timothy's mother, Eunice. Eunice had an unsaved husband. It's very likely that he played no role whatsoever in the spiritual development of Timothy. And yet God used Eunice's grounded faith to be passed on to Timothy, who then became a great man of God and in whom two books of the Bible are written about. And so no matter what your status is as a mom, the key for you is to make sure that your own faith goes deep with the Lord and that you are humbly obeying Him. And then He will use that despite your inadequacies, despite the great pressure of the circumstances that you face. God will take care of those things as you humbly follow Him and seek to be obedient to what He's calling you to do. John MacArthur said, and I quote, "For better or worse, mothers are the makers of men. They are the architects of the next generation." Listen to this. "That's why the goal of becoming a godly mother is the highest and most noble pursuit of womanhood." And so don't think that all of your hundreds of small deeds and your diligence to serve the Lord in the capacity of motherhood are futile. They are not futile. They are simply securing and molding your children that will be felt for generations to come and actually throughout all of eternity. So I'm just here to remind you this morning that the picture is much larger than maybe what you have been seeing. Because maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're directionless. Maybe you're fighting the world and its philosophies of telling you how you should be a good mom. Or maybe they're telling you that we can do it better than you can. Keep eternal perspective this morning. And I'm very grateful that I have a wife who models motherhood the way I preach it. Very grateful that I grew up in a home where my mother modeled the things I preached this morning as well. But listen, God can use all of you as moms for the kingdom of God. And so my prayer this morning is that God will bless you and encourage you and give much grace to you in carrying out the responsibility that God has given you, and that you would not only accept it, but that you would embrace it. And as Proverbs 31:31 says, may you receive the reward you have earned, and may you work, and may your work bring you praise. And so may God reward you, and may the rest of us praise you for who you are and what you do for the family today. Let's pray together.